Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Many are confused and very challenged whenever it comes to true biblical redemption. Some do not feel worthy of redemption. They look to the things that they have committed in life and they say that they do not deserve the forgiveness of God and that there's no way that our God can or maybe would forgive them. Good people, the Bible speaks contrary to that. There are others who feel that they do not need God nor the redemption that He offers. In asserting that, good people, I believe that these individuals think that they are good, honest people and that maybe they commit no sin. The Bible certainly, in like figure, goes against that. We learn from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In the religious world, in like figure, they profess and practice a variety of methods how that an individual might be able to acquire our God's redemption, and these things also go against the commandments of our God. What is it that God says in regard to true biblical redemption? Good people, the idea and the confusion in regard to redemption is nothing new. In fact, whenever we think about those who are confused about God's redemption, first off, those who come to my mind is those of the Jews. In the Old Testament Scripture, the Jews sought redemption through the law of Moses. The law of Moses was given at Mount Sinai through our God's man, Moses. But we also understand is that that law was given specifically to the children of Israel, the nation that God had established for the purpose of bringing Jesus Christ into the world. As you come into the New Testament Scripture, the Jews, it is said that they were seeking for divine wisdom and guidance, but also, good people, they were seeking a sign from God. What do we understand in regard to that? I believe that they were looking for some sort of a miraculous confirmation in regard to their relationship with our God. But under the law of Christ, the Bible reveals unto us is that God does not work through signs and wonders. How is it that God works? Good people, our God speaks to mankind through His holy and inspired Word. We also understand as we consider the Greeks. The Greeks pursued God through some sort of a philosophical wisdom. God's Word tells us concerning the wisdom of man is that man's ways are not always in line with the ways of God, Isaiah 55 and verse 8. In fact, we understand as we consider the ways of man in comparison to the ways of God, man's ways will result in death. Why? Because our ways are certainly contrary to the will of God whenever it comes to our redemption, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. God instructs us that His wisdom is much wiser, much higher than any understanding that mankind may have. And true wisdom that leads unto God, good people, comes always through the Word of God. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. And understand that as we ask of God, we are asking in compliance to the standards that He lays down for us. But also, whenever we think in regard to confusion, whenever it comes to wisdom, true wisdom versus that which is found in Scripture, denominationalism seek Christ through man-made doctrines and creeds. The Bible tells us that a time would come when man would no longer endure sound doctrine. The Bible also reveals unto us that that time did come when man was no longer satisfied with hearing the Word of God, and based out of that then, having itching ears, they heaped to themselves teachers. How do we know that? The Apostle Paul dealt with those individuals there in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, where he says that he was beside himself, that they had been so soon removed from the doctrine of Christ. unto another doctrine, which is not another doctrine, but there are those who would pervert the doctrine of Christ. Good people, not only was that true in the first century, in like figure, it is true today. When we look at the religious world, they are confused in regard to our God and authority. They are refused in regard to what it is that God says that constitutes true New Testament worship. They are totally beside themselves with an understanding or lack thereof of what it is that is true biblical fellowship, a fellowship with God as well as a fellowship with one another. Yes, even whenever it comes to redemption. What is it that the religious world says that one must do in order to have redemption? Good people, they believe that it begins with an expression. An expression wherein that the individual's willing to say that they have sinned in their life, and based out of that then they offer some sort of a man-made sinner's prayer, asking for our God's forgiveness, and then they believe that it is followed up by feelings. Feelings that, in a mystical way, that the Holy Spirit gives unto them, or feelings that certainly that which they have received must be right because they feel as if they are right with God. According to what the New Testament Scripture teaches us, good people, real redemption is understood through a personal study of God's holy and inspired Word. The Bible reveals unto us is that God offers His grace unto mankind. Grace is God's part whenever it comes to our salvation. When we think in regard to the grace of God, good people, we need to understand is that God's grace is received. It is presented and then received through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. How is it that we come to an understanding concerning Christ and the grace of God that is extended through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Good people, we come to that understanding through God's inspired message. The Bible is how God communicates unto us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Also, when we think in regard to our God's message that He has given unto us, God has given us everything that pertains to life and unto godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. By giving us these things, good people, God tells us everything that you and I need to know. Everything that is essential for our life here, so that we might live as productive citizens here in this world, but more specifically, as it relates to God, how we might be able to understand what it is that God requires of us in order to serve as citizens in His eternal kingdom. How do we come to that understanding? In the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, wherefore things written aforetime were written for our learning. As one studies from the Old Testament Scripture, we have a picture that is painted or presented by our God in regard to His plan of redemption as the prophets through the Old Testament Scripture spoke. Good people, they were revealing things that would indeed come into play whenever Jesus Christ would come into this world. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 tells us that the law served as a tutor, a schoolmaster, pointing the way unto Jesus Christ. But not only do we have the Old Testament Scripture in like figure and in a more fuller way, we have the New Testament Scripture, the New Covenant, that identifies the final plan that God has to save mankind through Jesus Christ. In fact, John chapter 5 and verse 39, the things that we find therein speak concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Real redemption is understood through a study of God's Word, and real redemption is gained through full obedience unto Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that an individual must believe in God in order to be counted as one of His people. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for those who come to God must believe. Not that it is a good idea that they believe, but must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That word believe is in the Greek language pistuo, which is to have faith. And that faith then is more than just a belief or an intellectual understanding and even a verbal acknowledgement concerning the existence of God. Good people, belief as it is presented in Scripture is action. It is doing what it is that you believe. It is expressing that belief. How? In complete obedience to what it is that God commands of us. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse 22. He says that we are not to be hearers of the word only. Because if we're hearers of the word only, we deceive ourselves. But rather, we are to be doers. We are to understand the will of God and then to implement it. To put it into play in our continual everyday walk of life. Beginning, whenever it comes to our forgiveness, we must obey God according to the standards that He lays forth. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 and following, Jesus Christ our Lord Himself identifies that we can be counted as a wise man or a foolish man. The wise man did what? The wise man built upon the sand. And whenever the storms came, what happened to his house? Good people, it was destroyed. And that is indeed the way in which God looks at those individuals who will build upon their own understanding or who will build upon the religions of the world. But God says that we are to build upon the rock, upon the solid foundation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what is it that He's identifying that we must do here? We must do the works that God commands of us. God has done His part as well as Jesus. In the book of John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Good people, I want to be a friend of Christ. Don't you? And in order for us to be counted in the sight of God and before Jesus as His friend, we must follow through with what He also says in verse 14. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Good people, that begins in baptism, but we realize that it does not end there. Our full obedience to God is whenever we have been raised from that watery grave of baptism, then we are commanded, expected, to walk in newness of life. Real redemption is gained through full obedience to Christ. But good people, also tonight as I stand before you, I tell you that real redemption is realized through spiritual development. The Bible tells us that we are to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. How are we going to be able to show ourselves approved unto God? By understanding His Word and applying His will to our life. That tells us that we must spend much time in our study of God's Word and then also, as we have already stated, applying it to our life. We also understand, as is taught in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must continue to grow, and as we grow, I believe that we appreciate and understand more fully the redemption that God supplies for us in Christ. The Apostle Paul, at least in part, serves to that example. He says that it is but by the grace of God that I am that I am. Good people, without the grace of God, none of us would be anything. In fact, Jesus teaches us this in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 5, that without Christ, reality sets in that we are nothing. And the longer we are a New Testament Christian, the more that we study and understand God's Word and the redemption that He gives unto us through Christ, conjoined with our obedience, and then also how we maintain that as we go throughout the course of our life, we understand and appreciate that even more the longer that we serve the Lord. But then we realize too, concerning real redemption, is that it is maintained through a daily devotion in our life. In the book of Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua says unto the children of Israel, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Good people, I understand the context there, that Joshua was getting ready to die, and he was presenting before the children of Israel their need to stand up and to take hold of the reins that he had a hold of. As he is going to part, now someone else is going to have to lead Israel. Someone else is going to be responsible for the guidance there. And Israel certainly understood, as he presents that by saying, "We will indeed serve the Lord." In all of that, it was more than just a decision that they needed to make that day. It was a daily decision. And as Christians, you and I need to make a daily decision that we're going to serve the Lord. We make the decision whenever we put Christ on in baptism that we're going to serve God, but yet at the same time, we must continue to make the decision every day, "I'm going to serve God no matter what." How do we do that? The Bible says unto us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 that we are to come out. To come out from what? To come out from the world. Well, what does God tell us then in telling us to come out from the world? Good people, He is identifying unto us that the world is lost. He's identifying to you and me as Christians that the world is in darkness. And you and I as Christians, we are in the light. And light can have no association with darkness. Now, while we live in the world, that tells us that we have responsibilities that pertain to the world. If not, then we're not going to be able to be successful in reaching those who are lost. But yet at the same time, the fact that we are told to come out of the world, God says, do not live as the world lives. Do not participate in the ungodly things of the world. Stay away from the violation of God's law, which God identifies as sin. And as a result then of our coming out, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, he says that we are to walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been called through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And that calling then that we have received through the gospel also serves as our instruction on what it is that God identifies concerning a worthy walk. Walking in an upright manner before God. Walking in a holy manner. Walking according to righteousness. And our God and Christ serves as our example in all of these things. Good people, when we think in regard to real redemption, Jesus Christ offers you and me, if we're willing to accept that real, that true redemption in Christ, Jesus offers us so much. In God, the Bible reveals unto us, in God we live, we move, we have our being. What does that mean? It is because of God, His desire and His creative nature and all that He did in creation that you and I exist. And the fact that we move, it is because of God that you and I have breath. It is because of what God continually does for us that we're able to function and even to survive here in this world. Without God, without His desire, without His creation, you and I would not even exist. We ought to be ever thankful for God for the life that He gives us here and the opportunities that He places before us. But you know, in Christ, we have redemption. That word redemption has so much connected with it. What does God mean in telling us that we have redemption in Christ? It means to be bought back. We were sold as slaves to sin, and therefore obligated as sinners to continue to walk in sin, and therefore guilty of the consequences associated with sin. But in Christ, we are bought back and therefore set free and no longer held to the consequences of sin. Why? Because we no longer want to live in sin. So what does all that tell us? Good people, in redemption, you and I receive the forgiveness of our sin. And as a result of the forgiveness of our sin, we are able to gain a relationship with our God. But understand that it does not end with God. Not only do we have a relationship with God, in like figure, we have a relationship with one another. Why? Because we first have fellowship with God. And based out of that fellowship with God, in like figure, now we have fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we have the redemption that is offered through Christ, the Bible reveals unto us, now also we have accountability before God. What does that mean? Good people, we have accountability of our life. Somebody says, Kevin, I thought you said, I'm forgiven of my sin. Doesn't it end there? Absolutely not. We must continue to live for God. It is with our everyday life, the actions that we put forth in our life. We are accountable to God on a continual basis, and with that also comes responsibility. Responsibility to do what? Responsibility to understand God, in our understanding of God, to worship Him according to true New Testament worship, but also to work as citizens in the kingdom, individually and then also collectively, in a way that certainly will be pleasing and acceptable before God. In Jesus Christ, you and I gain every spiritual blessing. What are the blessings that we are able to acquire in Christ? Good people, we have peace with God. In sin, we are separated from God. And why are we separated from God because of sin? Because God can have absolutely nothing to do with sin. And therefore, we are at odds with God. We are an enemy of God. But in Christ, when we receive redemption, when we are counted as a child of God, good people, we receive peace. Peace with God that brings peace of mind to our lives, to know that now we are a child of the King and that God has something greater, much greater, prepared for us in eternity. But in like figure, the blessings that we receive in part also is support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have physical family that no doubt we are grateful for as we live here in this world. And isn't it wonderful to know that you have your parents, if you still are blessed with having your parents, the wisdom that they have as well as the guidance that they have offered and maybe even continue to offer throughout the course of the time in which you have with one another. If you're blessed with siblings, what a blessing it is to have brothers and sisters, physical brothers and sisters that you can turn to and you can have them to cheer you on whenever things are going well and in like figure, their shoulder to lean upon during times in which things aren't going so well. But good people, we are the spiritual family of God. The church is indeed the family that God wants you and me to certainly understand and to appreciate the fact that we are part of. And the church ought to be here for us, and we strive to do that here at East End. And you do that so well. Whenever things are going well, to pat one another on the back and to say, way to go, we're proud of you. But in like figure, whenever things aren't going so well, to be there, to give someone a shoulder to lean on or to cry on, and to help them to take their hand and to lead them to better days. It is indeed a blessing to have the support of the brethren. But in like figure, the blessings that you and I have is a new life, a better life, and a purposeful life. A life that has real meaning. I feel sorry for the people of this world who do not have God. They are going through this world in a haphazard manner without any true guidance or satisfaction. But as Christians, we know that our entire existence revolves around God. We are here because of God, and we're here to serve God. And if we live our life faithful unto God, we're going to go eternally to be with our God in the Lord. In Jesus Christ, we have hope in the day of judgment. Everyone outside of Christ is living in sin. Everyone outside of Christ stands lost before God, and therefore in the day of judgment, good people, they have absolutely no hope at all. But as Christians, the Bible reveals unto us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and following, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does that mean, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Good people, understand, as God's not saying in some sort of a mystical or miraculous way that we have been sealed and that there's no way that we can lose our salvation. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the conveyance of God's message. God worked through holy men. And he communicated his inspired word through these men. And therefore, as we look to the Bible today, we know that we have God's message for us in this age even. And as we consider this, in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, he says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit as to whether or not we're children of God. How does he do that? Good people, whenever we read and study God's Word, we come to an understanding of the path that God wants us to live. And then we are to compare our life to that path. And if we line up with that, then we're counted as children of God. But if we do not, then the Spirit bears witness that we are not children of God through our study of His inspired message. As we think in regard to this, whenever we put Christ on in baptism and live our life according to godliness, we are promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Good people, it is the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise of the gift of eternal life as long as you and I live our lives in the way that will be pleasing and acceptable to God, so that whenever we stand before Him, we will be counted as faithful, faithful in His sight. You say, "Kevin, what are you trying to say?" Good people, we have the hope in that day as saints, partakers of the inheritance of saints. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12, that inheritance is heaven. That inheritance is to be in the presence of God throughout eternity. That inheritance is a blessing to us while we live here with hope and anticipation of that which is yet to come. Tonight, as we close the lesson, I ask, is your redemption real redemption? Have you received the redemption that is only offered through Jesus Christ our Lord? If not, understand that that's the only way that we can be right with God and then have the hope whenever we stand before Him in the day of judgment.